This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician. Jimmy hit Austin. My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
It takes a lot of nerve to come back this way again. It takes a lot of nerve to say you are my friend. I'm moving through time, and the gates of glory are closing fast. The gates of glory are closing fast. I went down.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. Broadcasting worldwide in beautiful high definition audio, or something quite like it, to all fans all over the world, wherever you may work and play, vacation, or huddle in a tent on some mountainside with your satellite listening device enabled by technology to hear this broadcast. P2podcast.com, where all the episodes are listed in chronological order. Feel free to go back through the archives, listen to interviews with all the great guests of the past. It's Pat Green, Gary Pinon, Blake Walker, our old road manager, and Aggie great Blake Walker, frequent contributor to the show. Boy's been upset over this Texas A&M stuff, man. There's been a lot of, rumblings. You know, this broadcast does cover Aggie news. I'm not really affiliated with the Aggies, other than I like them. Even though I'm a Longhorn fan, I like the Longhorns. I like the Aggies. But you know, I play down there a lot. We got a long history of the band and I playing in College Station. So many great friends. So I'm always interested. I got a lot of Aggie friends who repeatedly email me every time something's going on. Coach is getting fired. Something. So my inbox was filling up all the internet, Twitter, with things about women. About female students. I guess it's the drill team wanting to dance at halftime on Kyle Field, having women yell leaders, you know, kind of the old school, the yell leaders, A&M yell leaders. Now they're talking about letting women do it. They're making the move to the SEC. Oh man, my hearts go out to them. I want to talk all these Aggie guys, all these A&M dudes off the bridge out there at Lake Ray Hubbard with their Aggie ring in their hand, thinking of just throwing the ring into the lake. Hold back. Pull back from the rail. Put the ring on your finger and go on with your life. It'll all be all right. Oh, but a lot of, stuff on that front in Aggie land. Our hearts go out to you. Needless to say, we'll get Blake Walker in here soon to show his Aggie ass on the air as he is wont to do. Well, what do you think of that Godfather podcast, man? That's just a little part one. We're going to talk a little bit more about it here today. You got, you know, three films, well, two really real films, Godfather 1 and 2. It's the 40th anniversary of The Godfather this week. They've been showing it on A&M, AMC at night. I'm just such a fool. I own the DVDs, of course, but then when it's on AMC, I'll sit there and watch it. I'll watch the commercials. I will endure just to watch The Godfather on TV. What does that mean? I never think, or I do think, why don't I just stop it and put in the DVD? Then I'm thinking, well, then I'm watching it myself. It doesn't count. How stupid is that? So I will sit there. When the breaks come, you know, I'll go grab myself a drink or a dessert or something, whatever. Watching The Godfather. Well, it came up. Did you watch the Oscars, man? Oh, man. Oh, it was unmoved by that, strangely. Do you realize that, you know, I talked glowingly, surprisingly, about the Grammys that were on a couple weeks ago, how I never watched, but I did this year, and I enjoyed it. Well, my sensibilities were a precursor to national statistics. Did you see the Grammys outdrew the Oscars for the first time in 28 years, the ratings? Did you see that? Oh, it was pretty surprising. 28 years ago is when Michael Jackson famously won all those Oscars for Thriller, his gigantic album. And he was, you know, getting up every 5 minutes and dancing and moonwalking a little bit, picking up all of his awards. God, didn't he have like a chimp with him in Webster or something like that? Or was that a different award show? It was something like that. Anyway, I was around for that. God, I was a kid then, 28 years ago. But yeah, I thought that was very telling. The Grammys outdrew the Oscars. You know, the Oscars has been suffering lately. I feel like they've been really trying to find their way. They add more movies to categories, add more categories. Whereas if you notice, the Grammys have gone in exactly the opposite direction. They have fewer categories and more entertainment. You know, the bands come out and play, the artists. And this year, they probably got a bounce from the Whitney Houston, surprising Whitney Houston passing. People tuned in maybe, you know, just to see what kind of tributes they would do for her. So there was some of that element in explaining the ratings. But, man, I think a lot of it had to do with, you know, you did have Foo Fighters. You had Adele and people like her, and she was a real band, and it wasn't just, you know, just guys, just hip-hop and stuff like it usually is, and spectacle. You had some of that, but there were some real bands playing. You know, McCartney was playing, and it was pretty cool. So people tuned in, and I was surprised to see. I was pleased to see that it did well. The Oscars, by contrast, man, it's no fair for me to say, man, I hadn't seen any of the movies. You know, I got a business to run here. I got kids, for crying out loud. If I go see a movie, it's Ice Age 3 or something. I'm not going to take my kids to see The Artist, you know. I mean, I'm intrigued. I'll see The Artist. I think that looks good. Descendants looks good. The one that everybody tells me to see is Moneyball. You know, and I've hadn't read the book, but I'm a fan of Michael Lewis. And by all accounts, you know, Pitt did a good job, although I'm not the biggest Pitt actor fan. Oh, he's all right. I just feel like Pitt never... you know, I like him and stuff. He's just not, I don't know. Can't quite carry a movie like people claim he can or say he can, but that's my opinion. Pitt, good job in Moneyball, they say. I'll have to check that out. I'm a sports fan, of course. Love to check out Moneyball. But yeah, the Oscars kind of dull. They're just running through those, you know, they come out and they present, and they come out and they present. It's just, present boring speech. It's kind of like, man, we got to get everything in on the broadcast. And there's not enough entertainment, man. They don't, you know, they used to do the songs. Did people not like that? I thought it was cool to be watching the Oscars, and it was all of a sudden it was, ladies and gentlemen, Sting, and he comes out with a mandolin and plays some song he put on the Lion King 2 soundtrack or something he wasn't aware that he had done. But still, it was some entertainment. It was like, ooh, hey, cool. Remember the year Titanic won Celine, but that was also the year, I think, Good Will Hunting was out. I just remember that because Elliot Smith, who I love, did some of the songs for, you know, Miss Misery was nominated for Good Will Hunting, and he was up there holding Celine Dion's hand and kind of bowing all the nominated music people. A few years ago, they started whittling down the music, started not doing whole songs. They were going to do just a short little medley. Everyone was just going to play like one verse of their song. And one of those nominated was Peter Gabriel. I can't remember what movie it was for. But they said, you know, Peter, you're nominated. It's an honor. Come on the show, but you're just going to play the little chorus part. Ding, 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 and then it's going to pan over to the next band. And Gabriel didn't show up. He just said, no, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'll either come play the song or I won't show up. No big deal. So that rattled some feathers. I think they just had some, you know, just a session guy sitting there playing the Gabriel song on a cello or something like that. But, yeah, Gabriel had none of it, man. You know, fortifying my opinion that Peter Gabriel is great. Love him. Wouldn't show up. Well, now they don't do anything, man. The song was just nominated. Yeah, here it was. So that was it. Just not a big deal. But that reduces entertainment. They've also reduced greatly the scenes they play. Like when they say, for best actor, you know, whoever. George Clooney, The Descendants. They just play kind of a short clip. They used to play long clips. They used to do a lot of flashback, retrospective kind of things. That's the stuff I watch the Oscars for, but they've kind of got it whittled down to where it's just presentation, boring speech, got to fit everything in, keep it short. And you're sitting there watching and just you just feel like fast-forwarding to the end to see who wins Best Picture. And it's kind of a shame. I felt like the Grammys was kind of more of a journey. And they go, now we're going on the outside stage for the Foo Fighters. We're going inside for this, you know. And I don't know, it was a little more exciting to kind of keep up with it, you know. Different genres and different bands would come out and play. And all the artists would be silly in their, you know, acceptance speeches. And you'd have interesting presenters. And it was kind of more broken up with some memorable bits. But, so good for the Grammys, man. Beating the Oscars. What a story. What a story. Well, we're going to do more Godfather talk, man, next week as we talk more. We talk most about Godfather 1, but we're going to talk more about The Godfather 2. Here, the 40th anniversary of The Godfather. So look forward to that in this first segment by me next week. Well, coming up right here, I hear a rustling out in the hall, someone rummaging through the refrigerator out there. Some breaking glass. I think that can only mean that Luke Coffey, film director, actor, producer, who has directed Old Man Football, the film that I'm doing all the music on for them, and also several other projects that we'll talk to him about. Luke Coffey will be here talking about his craft, his art, his struggle in the business, and his triumph in our next segment. Stay tuned.
Time and the gates of glory are closing fast. The gates of glory are closing fast.
Fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting worldwide to all ships at sea and every corner of this greenish blue planet of ours. To fans anywhere huddled with anticipation around your laptop or your mobile listening device, tuning into P2Podcast.com for all the latest and greatest news in entertainment, Texas music, and so much more. Phil here with you. Well, folks, last week, our friend Luke Coffey dropped by, director, actor, producer, filmmaker, and so much more. He was talking about their new feature film that Coffey Productions has done, Language of a Broken Heart, coming to a theater near you, hopefully this summer. A great film that I saw. I got introduced to Luke a while back, about a year ago, when my good friend Jay Ellis from high school said he'd made this film with this guy, Luke Coffey, about these football players in Corpus Christi. I was intrigued, and here we sit today. Luke Coffey joins us again.
Hey, thank you, Phil. I love seeing your face again.
Well, it's a treat for you, I hope.
Oh, it always and, is.
A face for radio.
Yeah.
Well, we have a... the fans have heard me talk about this. I've been just giddy with excitement for this. I make my own albums. I put them online. You don't know who's listening or what. You get an email from some guy in Ohio. Good stuff, man. You know, and you hear...
You touch people everywhere.
Well,
I mean, that's
amazing. You hear all the... Bless all the people who come to me at shows and say, I like this song. It's just a great feeling. But it's not attached. It's a Phil Pritchett album. You don't even make CDs or records anymore. It's just floating around.
Right.
There's no context or juxtaposition for these songs. They just exist. So it was thrilling for me to have an opportunity to create some music for a project, a finished project, full-length documentary film that takes place in Texas, that takes place around the subject of high school football. We're talking about Old Man Football, a documentary about... the alumni football team, I guess the guys who are maybe 40 years old, go back to Corpus Christi, Carroll High School near Corpus, and they get sort of challenged to a game by the younger alumni, the guys who are maybe in their early 20s, for a full pads game, raise some money for charity and for one of their friends who passed away since graduation. It's a compelling story. I've seen it in I get different cuts of it all the time, and I'm able to... Of course, we're doing that Robert Earl Keane song, Corpus Christi Bay. I had to put that in there.
Of course.
And a couple of original songs and a couple of instrumental
Some
pieces.
Some great original songs, Phil.
Well, thank you, Luke. Well, how did this project come up? My friend Jay Ellis track you down on this. It seems like a hard thing to have stumbled upon, and yet
right.
you did so. What
happened? Jay is a football fanatic, Texas high school football. He played at Highland Park and then Harvard.
Well, that's a good resume there.
Yeah, it's a good resume. It's a good
played
resume.
Played football at Highland Park High School. Then I played football at Harvard.
At Harvard. So he's one of those Harvard guys, those great minds.
Right.
So he thought he had a brilliant idea when he heard that one of his former roommates at Harvard was doing a was
playing in a game.
He wasn't playing. His former roommate's younger brother was quarterbacking a alumni football game down in Corpus Christi Bay,
right
area.
There you go.
So Jay had a thought and thought to himself, this may be a cool documentary idea. So
just to kind of cover the
The
game and the surroundings of it.
Exactly. And he quickly called and emailed. Jay's very he's very quick at it when he has something
very
on
tech
his mind.
Those guys from Harvard, very tech savvy.
Very tech savvy.
Very tech savvy. Well, he now his friend of course Jay's married to our friend Liza, and her brother Will is a friend of yours.
Will Graham is
that
like,
the connection there?
He's pretty much like, my brother. We lived over in South Africa and together.
Y'all did a film over there, is that correct?
Yeah, we did a little travel show pilot over there for the World Cup. And anyway, so that was the connection. But Jay also coached me at Highland Park.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we've known each other for a long time. And he knew I had my fingers in the film arena, so he said... approached me and said, "Hey, how could you get down to with a crew and film this and see what you get?" And it was kind of unstructured deal. And I was like, "Well, let's have a meeting about it." I don't know what you're talking about here. We had a quick meeting at Sammy's Barbecue in Dallas, and he said, "You know, what would it take to?"
That's where you guys hang out.
Yeah,
that's where I met you guys for the first time.
That's right,
Sammy's Barbecue.
That's kind of our place. So anyway. We met there quickly, and he said, what would it take to get you yourself and a crew down for about a month before this game? It's happening a month, get you down there in a couple days. And I was like, a couple days, bro? He's like, well, what would it take?
The game is tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, the game was a month away, but he wanted to capture, be able to capture everything that builds up to the game. And
so how long were y'all down there filming?
We were down there for 3.5 weeks.
Oh, okay, so y'all down there the whole build-up to the game.
Yes. So we were down there the whole time, and literally he raised our budget, for production.
Got some investors.
In 2 days, he had our total budget raised for
that's that
shooting.
Harvard thing kicking in.
Yep. He can and he's a good salesman, I guess.
There you go. He is a good salesman and a heck of a good guy.
Yeah, he sure is. Jay, you're a good guy.
So he had got the thing rolling, got you guys down there with some cameras.
Yep.
How do you know where to start on something? Okay, there's this game. That's not happening for a while. Do you just start kind of asking around, hey, who's playing quarterback for the – so you kind of end up with the old guy team.
Yeah.
The late 30s, 40-year-old old guy teams, and then you kind of got the young guy team.
We had
that's where the film kind of follows
exactly.
The lives of these characters, these real-life characters.
To be quite frankly, we didn't know where the story was. We knew that these old guys were playing in a game. And granted, we heard it. There were 45-year-old there were one or two 45-year-old guys that were putting on the pads, and we're talking full contact. These guys.
It's a full contact game. And
most of these guys did not play college ball either, so it's been some 18, 19 years since they've even seen the field. So we thought that was intriguing. We didn't know what is the story. We didn't know that. In a lot of documentaries, the storyline, and you go back and you tell the story, and it's already established. Mm-hmm. This was a fly by the seat of your pants. We get what we get, and we go down there. So we interview. We did 2 days of pre-production where we just had people fill out flyers, much what they do in reality TV, I guess.
Wait, fill out a waiver or like a release of some kind?
Well, a release and also like questions.
You won't sue us if we put you in this movie.
Exactly, but also what makes you interesting where we'd actually want to follow you?
Right.
Because we had 80 guys. And we said
all dying to be in a movie.
Yeah, And we were the talk of the town when we go down there. All these guys were just, you know.
Coming out of the woodwork.
And I think we got a bunch that wouldn't have probably played, but they heard that there was going to be a movie filmed about it. So they.
Guys suiting up, just walking around town with their helmets on.
Yeah. Hey!
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
That was what intriguing to me. It's the neat thing about this, so many documentaries, you don't know how interesting it'd be. Like, you'd say, well, this documentary is about these guys living in Alaska on a farm. You kind of go, huh, would that be interesting? I don't know. Then you see it might very well be interesting.
Right.
What was neat about this is, there's just that one sentence concept of the thing, just 40-year-old guys putting on the pads again to play younger guys.
Right.
And anybody who's, you know, played any kind of sports or athletics growing up, you get married, you move on with your life, you kind of wonder, because you feel like in your heart and mind that, hey, I could still get out there and, you know, lay somebody out, you know,
right.
Or I could still get out, or could I? I don't know.
And
so that's the compelling thing is the film does such a great job is interviewing these older guys and their doubts, but then also their confidence seek, you know, just, man, I'm going to get out there first, you know, man, I'm going to catch that ball. And man, when I was playing corner back then, and
right. The
movie's full of great, just hilarious interviews with, especially the older guys.
Right.
And then especially also with the younger guys, joking about, you know, man, these old guys are going to be fat. I'm going to be able to outrun them, you know, and all the strategies kind of going into it. And, God, just made for it. Y'all got some. How'd you edit all that together, though? You had to just have had days worth of.
No, we had.
Guys, I mean, there's guys, you're following them in bars, they're drinking around the barbecue, just talking about old stories. How do you find the stories in that? Do you just earmark? Kind of, this is kind of an interesting bit here.
Well, yeah, we went down there, like I said, not knowing what the story is. We found some compelling characters. They're a great group of. What we found was a great group of guys that.
Mm-hmm.
That really were playing for a good cause. One of the one of the former players was murdered, and they were doing it for a scholarship fund. But as we
started the game, a charity game.
But what we found was that was so compelling about it was a lot of these guys, you know, they're blue collar America, the middle America, what made this great country. But they, you know,
some of them had been in jail, some of them had maybe. You've been kicked off the team, or you know.
There's some stories like that on the team. A lot of
sentiment
guys,
of wanting to make things right, maybe.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. This is a do-over for us. You know.
Yeah.
This
you kind of go, man. I get to go back and make things right by going out.
And it is. It's interesting because how many times I know. It was compelling to Jay and I because we still kind of live in those days where, you know, high school football was, you know, one of the greatest times of our lives. You know.
Yeah.
And especially playing in Texas high school football. It's just such a tradition down here. It is. You're the Friday night heroes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for these guys, I mean, it was like that was one of the greatest times of their life.
And so
they, to be able to relive that and get together.
Come running out of that locker room with the pads.
Exactly.
And just the
full
whole
stadium.
Thing.
And so we found as we had two crews going around that we had some intriguing, characters and intriguing
stories. Well, I bet it wasn't hard to get these guys talking about their old school, high school
no.
day.
You
just kind of kicked that rock down the top of the mountain. Just so, man, what was it like? How are you on the field? Just, man, my strength was getting outside, and the guys. There's just great stuff. Guys talking about how they
like
how they couldn't be beat in the old days.
Like it was yesterday,
and they could do it.
You know, today,
all day
you long.
Just wait.
Nothing's changed.
Hadn't lost a step.
Yeah.
Hadn't lost a step.
And I'd be lying if I didn't consider running down, you know, and I know they would have let me, running down there on kickoff. That was one of my favorite things, running down his bullet, but strapping it on one last time.
Because
I was kind of a bit jealous of what they were doing. But they practiced for 6 months prepping for the game. And took it very,
they were all having fun. But we're taking it quite serious. You had to. I mean, you're going to be out there. You had to kind of get into shape. I mean, those old guys had to.
Oh, yeah. They were doing wind
had to
sprints.
Practice. You couldn't just go out there and, you know, think you were going to run the ball up the middle. You're like, wait, man, who do I block and who's going to play where? And they had to figure some stuff out.
What was interesting about this storyline was that there was it was the players from the 90s, the 90s decade playing the guys from the 2000s, all of the same alum, Corpus Christi Carroll.
Yeah.
But the guys that,
who was a vaunted, football program.
Right.
Through the years.
Yeah. In South Texas.
Yeah. In South Texas. Yeah.
For sure. And, So these guys, the older guys, were taking it very serious and doing wind sprints and having long practices. Everybody show up for practice.
Although some of them were kind of stopping for a smoke break. I saw this kind
those
of funny.
Are. I think those are the younger guys. The younger guys thought it was a joke still that they were playing the old guys.
Yeah, right.
And it was like that they didn't need to prep because they were a couple years
the
out.
The old
of
guys were a lot more focused because they had a lot more to you. You know, they realized that, man, if I don't get out there and kind of.
Right.
Get in shape a little bit and kind of get ready. I'm going to make a fool out of myself.
Right. So there was a lot to prove for a lot of these guys, different reasons and different, you know, why they were playing in the
game. The kids are watching. I mean, the kids never watched them play.
Exactly.
Growing up, obviously.
Yeah. And let's be honest, they were never going to be in the NFL or, you know, a lot of play college ball. So this was like a, you know, a chance to play as an adult.
That's right. That's right.
So back to your question regarding the. We had 500 hours of footage, and which was fun for our editor, Andrew.
The great Andrew Hudson, who just went through this painstakingly, I'm sure, minute by minute, extracting the bits of gold.
And he wasn't there presently with us, so we watched, you know, I watched a lot of it with him and told him, you know, who the characters I think that were interesting but wanted his outside opinion of it. And so it's been over a year now that we've been in the post-production process. That's just what it is when you have 500 hours of footage.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And
so right now it's running, you got it down to like 70-ish minutes. How long is it right now?
I think
about?
It's like 83 or something maybe.
Yeah.
Which is a good amount for feature. And, you know, Phil, we're... You know, so blessed to have your music. Drive the story, and it's really it's perfect to, you know, it is to have Phil Pritchett attached to the story is we're so.
Oh, that's just, that's just gonna raise alarm bells throughout the land.
I
hope so.
For sure.
Football, why do we care? Music by Phil Pritchett. Just put it on the big screen.
Exactly.
I'm hoping that has that effect, at least somewhere.
Hey, Phil, I'm going to switch it around and ask you some questions. What it's like?
Come on.
Is it like composing for a visual piece of art?
Man, it's been very, very fun and just thrilling, really. Because people think I just sit around with my acoustic guitar writing poignant and thoughtful songs that change people's lives, that they just have to do that all day long. I laugh. I do have a lot of music I end up quote unquote writing that might just be kind of a drum loop with a electric piano kind of thing, you know, that I really don't have lyrics for. And it's funny when this project came up, when Jay approached me about it months ago, because I, for some reason, the last year or so, I did do more of that. I just kind of compiled a lot of instrumental things and some of that stuff that's already really made it in the film. And I remember just mixing some of the stuff down. I'm like, wow, I'm just wasting my time here. I need to come up with some Texas music stuff, you know. And I just end up with all this kind of instrumental music using all different kinds of samples and loops and weird sounds and flutes or what. I mean, just all kinds of stuff that I wouldn't normally do in my own music. And I was like, man, what am I writing all this for? This is, you know, a waste of time. And so when this thing just kind of came around and Jay
was
like...
fate, Phil.
Fate, yes. Fate takes its hand. So I kind of told Jay, he goes, I know you really don't write like background-y kind of... And I said, well, it's funny you say that. I kind of have. I don't know why I was doing it, but... Here's some of it, and I think I emailed some MP3s to you guys or something, just like, hey, you know, here's a, and you were like, yeah, let's get together, and we did. I wrote a couple of
and I've always known of you, Phil. I've always been a Phil Pritchett fan since college, Phil.
So
that's, of course, I knew.
You never thought, wait, man, wasn't that guy also my YMCA referee, Phil Pritchett?
I didn't.
The
know
one
that.
And only guy out there.
I didn't know that.
Just throwing a flag on me for face masking a guy when I was in the fifth grade. That was me. That was me.
That was you.
But no, it's been a great experience, and man, it's just fun to see it all start to come together.
But how do you, when you choose a piece of music or write something for a piece of music, when you're actually visually, you take it as you're looking at it as an audience and seeing how it's affecting you when you choose, right?
The most striking thing to me about doing it is how differently you can go with it musically, and how that it totally changes what you're seeing,
right?
You know, you can show, you know, there's some montages in there of the guys. You kind of come on, up, go, like practicing and you're doing some little tackling drills and man, you can just kind of have this like, hi, here's the old guys practicing football, or you can just kind of have some minor chord acoustic things going,
right?
while this same stuff is going on, and you're getting a kind of a nostalgic sense of heavy moments of your past as you're watching this,
right.
Instead of like, oh, ha ha, it's, I don't know, it just, it kind of
comes
down,
changes it.
It comes down to, I don't know, you, the director, the producer of it, like which way you want to go. That I go, man, we can either, you know, because right. The first cut y'all had some stock music in there,
right.
And there were a couple times I was like, man, it sounds like y'all are kind of playing this for laughs, but man, I'm going the more morose nostalgic thing here. And so I don't know. I hope that's cool. It lends sort of a dramatic hand to it, you know.
And that's what's been great is just with this whole project, and I mean film in general. It's a collaboration. It's we've brought on you as an artist to get your feeling. What would you put with this? We trust you as an artist, and it's kind of, we want to understand what your feeling is too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm open as, you know, as a director that this is. I want it to touch different people in different ways,
right.
And I think the story does have a lot of comedy in it, and we definitely want to hit those points. But it also
there's
a lot of heart, you know. And there's this, like, you know, when you're you know, if you own your own garage and you're a blue collar guy, maybe you're doing an insecticide down in Corpus. And those days, you're thinking back, oh my gosh, those days when I was the captain of the Corpus Christi Carroll football team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
I ruled this town. Yeah, there's...
And, you know, there's a cool... Like, we all have that, where we have those days in our lives where we look back and it's like, wow, that was a great time in my life. I wish I could relive that.
Go back there in some way. Right. Yeah. So that was the overriding sense. That was for me.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm more like an old guy, you know,
no.
who are the same age. I'm roughly the same age as a lot of those guys playing on the old guy team and can sympathize with that side of it. And so I felt like looking at the rough cuts that there's definitely comedy and there's definitely, it's hilarious. The guys talk about the old days and how they couldn't be covered and, you know, but there's also those guys that are trying to set things right and trying to prove to themselves that they can get out there and
right.
and give it their all and make a block, make a tackle, make a catch, and you know, now they got their wife and kid watching them in the stands. That there's more riding on it, and so that was the sense I got from it. I think some of my music that I've put together reflects
that element
of it, and so it's been it's been interesting just to collaborate and watch it
and come together. And you even have some songs with lyrics that you've written for.
Yeah, well, I've always got bits of music laying around, and yeah, I did take. We're going to have, I think, a kind of a soft release of some kind of a soundtrack, you know, as the movie gets finished up. You know, it's an old man football soundtrack, music by Phil Pritchard, or something like that. And it'll have original songs and all the instrumental pieces on there for people to check out. You know, just floating around. But I wanted to have stuff on there that was unique. You know, we're gonna borrow some songs from my catalog on here a little bit, but I also wanted to have several on there that, you know, you fans out there could get the soundtrack for it. They would only be on this.
And that's what we're excited about, to have one composer, you know, one artist, Texas artist that.
Yeah.
Like you, Phil, that is...
Who just takes it on.
Takes
it under
and
the wing.
The whole, and you have a wide range. I've seen your range that I was, you know, I'd seen... I remember your old stuff from when I was in college back in 2000 or...
Yeah.
And your range is just brilliant. And
well, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have a chance to show my affinity for the Talking Heads... Remain in Light album or Radiohead or something in maybe the Texas music realm,
right?
You know, it's a little more roots rock and I, of course, I love all that stuff, but you know, I'm really into Miles Davis and jazz and you know, man, just all kinds of different styles of music that I don't really get to put on my records or play at the Granada Theater with the band. Maybe I should, I don't know, but
right.
So this was an opportunity to sort of, you know, really flesh out some stuff and sort of push myself artistically.
Be the artist that you dreamed of being.
Just take it to the next level. Well, Luke Coffey is here. Man, we're talking about Old Man Football, the movie we've been working on together. I'm doing the music for it. Luke has shot all the footage and edited it all together with help from Andrew Hudson and Jay Ellis and others. It's so exciting. We hope to have a premiere for this Old Man Football. I don't know. When's that going to be? Y'all talked about doing something in Dallas.
I think
maybe down in Corpus Christi or somewhere like that.
Yeah, late spring, hopefully, or maybe even early spring. I think we're getting there. We're getting close. We're just got to do color correction and some other final finishing aspects to the film. But
needless to say, if there's a chance for a few Pritchett fans out there to sneak onto a guest list or something, man, we'll keep you posted if there's some way for them to see it.
For
and
sure.
Certainly once it's finished, it'll be.
It'll
be out there. There's a lot of y'all looking at a lot of opportunities to.
We're looking at South by to be maybe our
jumping off point,
international premiere, or national and international premiere at South by, which I think will, because of Phil's music and that it's a music and film festival. I think it's going to be a great platform to launch this baby.
Yeah.
Into the world. So.
And man, with stuff online, Netflix, iTunes,
right.
Certainly with like, you know, we've all loved the sports documentaries of various types we've seen on like 30 for 30.
Yeah, exactly.
ESPN, cable. There's a lot of outlets where a film like this can be shown, you
right.
know, and can be seen. And I think there's a lot of potential for it. It's hard for me to get a sense of it because I'm so involved with it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, was it a good film, Phil? I'm like, man, I really think so. But maybe I'm not right. But
it's a great film, Phil.
I've shown it to a lot of people, you know, just around the family and stuff. Everybody goes, oh, man, I think it's great. So I'm really excited about it. And I think it'll get out there for you at Coffee Productions. Luke Coffee has been here. Thanks for dropping by, my friend.
Phil, thanks for all your help and thanks for your talent.
We'll keep working on those films, man.
All right.
Well, Luke will drop by next week, man, for our guest. A record-breaking third week in a row to talk some more movies, the future stuff he's working on. Guys, he's got so many projects coming up. Who knows, man? I might be doing more music for movies in the future. Let's hope so. Well, join us, philpritchett.com. Sign up for the mailing list. I send you a personal email. Oh, once every couple of weeks, philpritchett.com. Just type in your address there at the newsletter. You'll see it there on the website. As always, email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Let me know where to come play your party. Solo, full band, what have you. And also bands and artists. Come record at the studio. Call me, 817-733-5256. We'll see you next week, folks. More music and all that is, all other great things next week, as always. We'll see you then. This is Phil Pritchett. Much tougher.
I saw an old man watching and he looked a lot like me. He said he had something left over from 1993. He's moving through time, moving through time, moving through time.